Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. Now, between 2 and 3, we've got a special subject we're going to talk about. I'm not going to tell you about it now because you might want to listen to it, but I believe it's going to be a very uplifting interview, so we'll see how we go. Between 1 and 2, Cindy McLeish will be in with us to tell us a bit about what's going on around in the neighbourhood. But first of all, I've got in front of me a lady that we've spoken to on a number of occasions, and it's Bronwyn. And Bronwyn has been very tied up with the Queensland fruit fly, so we want to find out a bit about the season that has just gone, what we think the will happen next year, and or if she can, probably is a bit, how long is a bit of string, and then we want to talk some other agricultural stuff. So first of all, welcome, Bronwyn.
Thanks for having me, Alan. It's exciting to always talk about agriculture.
So thank you very much for coming in. Now, Bronwyn, the fruit fly season is just about finished or finished?
I'm calling it finished for the Yarra Valley for this season.
So how did it go?
It was actually a better than expected season because we didn't have as many fruit fly around.
What? Why is that?
My theory is that it was possibly too hot and too dry in the summer.
Right.
My other theory is that we're actually getting some good management happening on land.
I was going to ask you that. Whether
I can't prove it, though.
I was wondering whether it was a case of, you know, nature took over or whether, in fact, we're getting better at it.
I think we're getting better. I'd like to think we're getting better at it. But, yeah, the environment and the climate was in our favour because we had that hot, dry spell, which makes it really hard for fruit fly to go through their and complete their life cycle.
Does it? So when you say it was too hot and that, we obviously still had cases?
Yes, we still had some fruit fly detections throughout the Yarra Valley.
Yep.
We also have to take into consideration we had less fruit fly traps out there informing us of what's going on. But where we did have consistency between where we used to have traps and where we currently have traps, we did notice a notable downtrend.
I was just going to say, put your teeth in. Roughly how many cases did you have?
Less than 100.
That's
and
all right.
Last year, the season before, we had just under 200. So we're definitely below half of our highest ever records of fruit fly detections. But you've got to keep it in mind that that's only the fruit fly detections that we know about.
Yep.
So yeah, we can only measure against what we used to measure. Yeah.
So I guess this is asking you how long is a piece of string, but what are you prophesying next year? Is it based on the weather or do you think that we might be able to sort of – we're never going to get rid of it completely, are we?
We're probably not going to get rid of it completely, but we can significantly reduce that impact and the population that is around.
Yeah.
So we have had a lot of fruit trees removed from public spaces and roadsides. That was a significant project that we've completed years ago. So the trend might be coming down that way.
Yep.
We've got lots of land holders adequately managing fruit fly, which means they're taking away the hosts and the fruit that they don't need to grow, like usually weed hosts.
Yep.
And we didn't have a strong La Nina, so that meant that we didn't necessarily have a super warm, humid spring like we've had in the past.
Yep.
And again, coupled with that 6 weeks of drought conditions, which is not ideal for anyone else, just good for it means that there's less food around for the fruit fly in the microbes and what they feed off in some of the leaf litter and things like that. And it also means that the birds may have come in and taken more of the unharvested and unmanaged fruit. So it's a combination of so many different things that impact the population of anything.
For the outcome. Let me just ask you this, and I'm not trying to cause division. Do you find who's getting better at it? Are the commercial operators getting better at it? And so therefore theirs are always going to drop and Mr. and Mrs. Average aren't as good? Or do you reckon they're both on about a par?
I'm going to take a third tact there and say that I think the biggest problem is blackberries.
Is it?
Unmaintained blackberries, because they will host fruit fly at the most opportune time in the season, being around that January, February, March period.
Yep. And they can be on the side of the road, paddocks and everywhere, can't they?
So many people in the Yarra Valley don't manage blackberries.
Yep.
And generally speaking, a lot of people grow fruit and they harvest it. And if that doesn't matter whether you're a backyarder or a commercial fruit grower, it's in your interest to harvest it.
Yep.
So it is the
rare... don't make any money if you don't harvest it.
Well, you don't eat if you don't harvest it.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you if it's home gardeners or commercial fruit growers, but I would have to say statistically it's the home gardeners and townships, particularly in country Victoria, that are the worst at managing fruit fly because it has the highest percentage of people that don't care.
Okay. Now, I'll ask you something else. On the side of the roads, there are obviously quite a lot of blackberries. Do Council or Vic Roads have any sort of process in getting rid of blackberries, or they don't care?
You ring Council and they'll tell you Vic Roads, and you ring Vic Roads and they'll tell you Council. No. We have worked with the Council more so. They're much easier to work with than Vic Roads. Council are interested in supporting agriculture, and agribusiness Yarra Valley has worked with Council a fair bit over this.
Yep.
And they have X amount of funding, and they have, you know, a list of jobs a mile long to do. Yep. So it's a matter of looking at areas where they can prioritise spending that funding.
Yep.
And typically when we can prove that there's an action plan and some positive actions happening on a property or series of properties, the council have greater ability to prioritise a section of road to maintain.
But how much of that of the blackberries are on council or Vic Roads land as opposed to Mr. and Mrs. Average?
I couldn't tell you I can't tell you a statistic on that. Yep. All I can tell you is that I know that the best way to get rid of them is to actually work together and showcase that each party, whoever's responsible for managing the public land and whoever's responsible for managing the private land, when that work is done together to remove any, it could be blackberries, it could be self-sown apple tree, or it could be tomatoes in a garden that are just grown and then left. But whenever there's that, each landholder is holding each other accountable, that has the strongest outcome in pest prevention and management.
Now, you mentioned something earlier on, which I'm going to sort of pick up on now. You said that there's been quite a number of fruit trees taken out of parks and all that. So are they just through seeds that have been dropped there somehow, or how come all of a sudden you get fruit in a park?
So it could be in a park, but it could be roadside as well. And fruit can self-sow. So whether it's because someone's thrown the apple core out the window, or whether it's because, and I think this is most of the time, it's birds will eat fruit seeds.
Yep.
And they'll sit on a fence and they'll poop out the seeds, and often we get fruit trees growing from seeds, and typically they're found on fences.
I would have thought that the when the seeds, not to put it too delicately, when that went through the birds, I would have thought that that would have been the end of the seed. So that's not necessarily.
No. A lot of seeds, fruit seeds, do go through birds, and there are even some fruit that need to go through a bird's digestion system to become viable. Because it's able to, the acidity and the process is able to help the seed crack itself open and germinate. So in some rare cases, but all your blackberry seeds and your apple seeds and your other fruit seeds and even deer and kangaroos eating fruit can spread seeds as well.
Didn't know that. All right, I've got to take a break and we'll be back with more. And we're going to talk about a few other things other than fruit fly today, aren't we?
Awesome.
So we'll come back very shortly.
Well, I've ripped and dug out burrows on a sandy bullock hill. Eradicating rabbits doesn't take a lot of skill, but a boy born in the Mallee doesn't find them hard to kill. No self-respecting farmer lets a rodent eat his wheat. He'll shoot him and he'll skin him and he'll dress him up to eat. But since the spread of Mixo, he's almost got him beat. And I don't mind at all if you call me a Mallee boy. Where little town dogs howl at the morning train. Where a cocky makes a living on 12 inches of rain. Where his woman provides and is rare to complain. And I still love the smell of that sandy soil. Some say it's dusty, some say it's gold. Cause it grows the sweetest fat lambs the market's ever sold. And I don't mind at all if you call me a Mallee boy. You could lose an ear on duck opening day, where slickers bring their shotguns from miles away and shoot the life out of shags and swans that fly their way. Where a bloke grows as stocky as a Mallee bull, where they come from miles around to see the tractor pull, when the paddocks are clean and seed silos are full. And I don't mind at all if you call me a Mallee boy. Well, I've ripped and dug out burrows on a sandy bullock hill. Eradicating rabbits doesn't take a lot of skill, and a boy born in the Mallee doesn't find them hard to kill. But they'll never be as rare as a Kwangdong tree. My grandma made some jam for my brothers and me. They're like the Mallee fowl you hardly ever see. But I don't mind at all if you call me a Mallee boy. No, I don't mind at all if you call me a Mallee boy.
Now, Bronwyn, I'm talking to Bronwyn, and she's the authority on fruit fly, but we're going to talk about a few other things other than fruit fly today. You mentioned blackberries before, and we were talking about them on the side of the road and on people's property. Now, a lot of people just find them too hard to deal with and just leave them there. So is there any sort of plan as to what can happen with blackberries, like how we can rid ourselves of them?
The best plan with blackberries is to do it a staged approach, a little bit at a time, because you and I probably can't go and clear a couple of acres of blackberries. We'd get very sore. And they'll just grow back.
Yeah.
So we, at Agribusiness Yarra Valley, we have an action plan template that you can grab. It's done over about 3 years, and we can show you the different tools and techniques and contractors and ways in able to control blackberries.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of working out what's going to suit your property and your plan, your lifestyle the best, and putting that into play. And when you've got several people with these blackberry action plans, it creates a really good working environment. It's encouraging for others to participate.
So
as well,
with blackberries, is it, I mean, you said about being, you know, they're prickly things and they're all sorts of problems. Is the best practice to kill them and then dig them out, or do you dig them out when they're live and try and get them all, or what's your best plan?
It totally depends on whether you're on a flat paddock, a hillside, a creek, near a dam, or if you've got all of those on your property.
Yep.
You might tackle each of them differently. But the main idea is to get that vegetative matter down. We're exploring all different ways of doing that with goats too.
With goats?
Because goats will eat them.
But do they only just eat the blackberries themselves or the bush?
They eat the blackberries and the leaves, and they nibble at some of the blackberry canes that don't necessarily eat everything.
Yep.
But if you constantly take away the leaves off that blackberry cane, it's got no way of producing energy, so it can't grow back.
Yep.
So then it uses energy from the roots, and then the goats come in again and eat the leaves again. And eventually these blackberries get so weak that they can just be pushed out.
Oh, can they?
It's usually done with not just one tool, but a combination of tools. So our strategy is to severely impact the vegetative matter.
Yep.
And then you come in a subsequent visit, and you can use either much less spray or you can rip them out. But the plan is to also have a revegetation period so that you're out-competing the blackberries growing back in the third year.
There's
several different tools. It's all about working out what tools are going to work for you and what order to use them in. And once you get over that hurdle, BlackBerry Manager, it's way, way easier.
All right. So when you've got, say, a commercial enterprise, and we're talking, you know, the, as opposed to a hobby farm, are they two different ways of combating them, or they're just all the same?
Hard work is hard work, no matter who does it.
Sounds pretty
It's not easy, I'll give you that. But
is it?
No, it, probably commercial farmers would have a maybe access to bigger machinery and maybe workers to help them do that.
Yep.
But it's still going to cost money and time.
It's still the same. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more.
Well, if I go down in history, I'll owe it to this misery from all the lies you told to me and this poor old heart you broke. Now people, they might walk on by and never even recognize that I'm a legend in disguise, not just your average Joe. You might find a picture of me stepping on my liquor if you look up. Drinking doubles of my own stew. Well, go on, you can shake my hand. Everybody gonna know my name when they hang my sword behind the bar at the Honky Tonk Hall of Fame. Now I see those bottles in a line and everyone's a friend. Time in spite of all the pain. But being famous has a price. There's smoke and mirrors and neon lights. I'm living proof that lonely nights can drive a man insane. You'll probably find a picture of me sipping on my liquor. You look up a world-class fool. And I'm saying once again, I'm the best that's ever been at drinking doubles of all.
George Strait and Chris Stapleton singing, forget what the name of the song was, which is disgraceful. It was Honky Tonk Hall of Fame. I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, Bronwyn, biosecurity and biodiversity. What's the difference, or are they both the same, just with a different name?
They sound similar.
Sound and when very you ring much up, the same to me.
And when you ring up somebody and try and talk about them, they go, oh, yeah, I've got that. Yeah. No. So biosecurity is protecting your farm or your enterprise or your state or your country from biological impacts. So it might be protecting your bees from the varroa mite, which is a problem in Australia at the moment.
Yep.
It might be protecting your bird flock against bird flu. It might be protecting your grapevines against phylloxera.
Yep.
Or it could be protecting your animals from, say, a foot and mouth disease. So a lot of these diseases and pests that I've just mentioned, we don't have.
Yep.
Some we have.
And we don't want them.
we don't want them. I think we're about to get the bird flu.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, it's come from Antarctica up to Western Australia, so it might be a if and when to, for the eastern states. I'm not sure yet.
Yep.
But I think that's going to have severe impact. But a biosecurity plan can be as simple as making sure someone stops at the gate on your property and doesn't bring any biological threats to your production.
Are we talking things like bringing in stuff on car tyres and all that sort of stuff?
Car tyres, bottom of your shoes.
Yep.
Phylloxera can even be on your clothing. It can be biosecurity is also, for example, if your household and all your people in your household are healthy and someone that's about to visit you is sick and you say, no, thank you, we don't want your illness. Yep. So it can be from people to people or it can be from animal to animal.
Right.
So it's always good to have a look at what you're producing or what you are running, what kind of enterprise or hobby farm you're running, and then making sure that when you are about to introduce something, you have a plan on what you're going to do. So, for example, stock, you might have a stock containment paddock. You get five new cows on your property, you put them
in isolation.
Put them in isolation and you check them and make sure they're healthy before you integrate them into your herd.
Yep.
It might be that you've received a box of nectarines from Nanarup in Shepparton.
Yep.
And you think, oh, these could have fruit fly in them.
Yeah.
So you might take them in a secure container to your kitchen and process them. And then you can freeze or cook the scraps. And then you're in full control and that infested produce does not go into your compost bin or your garden.
So that's biosecurity.
That's biosecurity. It's having a plan about what could hit you and how you're going to deal with it if it does.
Yep.
Putting a prevention plan. Biodiversity, on the other hand, we hear a lot about it in that nature and that environmental space. It means having a wide range of biological parts to your system. So that could be biodiversity in your insects, could be having lots of pollinators and lots of predator insects in your garden, and that helps often manage the bad pests.
So you're talking about bringing in other pests or I don't quite get the gist of that. I'm sure some of the listeners don't either.
Biodiversity is just that wide range. So you could have biodiversity in plants, which means you had a wide range of plants in your garden or your system or your property or your business.
But you can't do that with pests.
You can have a biodiversity in insects and animals and bird life on your farm, which helps.
I'm just trying to get that out. By encourage them or
you can encourage them, yes.
Yep.
Or you can, for example, in an orchard space, you can bring in some predator insects that will eat the bad insects.
Well, that's what I'm getting
at. In your apple orchard, for example.
You could bring it into your own system, into your own area.
Yes.
Yep.
You would still have your biosecurity plan in place because you would know where you're going to get your insect predators from and that would be a verified pathway and safe to bring in because it's a part of the plan.
Yep.
What you don't want is, for example, Queensland fruit fly coming in from another suburb or another neighbour's place because that's an unplanned event.
Yep.
So biodiversity is encouraged and often production systems that have a large range of biological parts have very biodiverse system.
Yep.
They're usually well adjusted to deal with climatic changes and other impacts to your farm. Because, for example, if you have a wide range of predator insects in your orchard and a predator or a bad insect came in unknowingly, quite often your insect system, if it's biodiverse, will keep that in balance and protect your fruit.
Kill off the other, the one that comes in.
In an ideal situation. What you don't want is that balance to get out of kilter.
Yep.
So that's why you need a biosecurity plan and a biodiversity plan. So at Agribusiness Yarra Valley, we've got a couple of different projects going on, but all of them come back to that sustainable land management. What can you do that doesn't use a lot of chemicals to wipe out the good insects? What can you do that your fertiliser plan is going to maintain the biodiversity in your soils. So it's all about having a plan.
All right. Now, you've been talking about these plans. Where, if we've got, because obviously the commercial operators probably know where to go, but if we've got Mr. and Mrs. Average who have got a hobby farm or little, not winery, grapes and that, just on a couple of acres. How do they ever got time to write these plans? How do they find these plans?
I think we've all got to make the time to write these plans, no matter how big or little they are. So you can have a professional one done. Yep. You can go to and come and join Agribusiness Yarra Valley or look on our website. Yep. Agriculture Victoria's got whole farm planning.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. For the local people, they can go to your website.
They can go to the website. They can start with us, but even we are going to draw from the resources that are out there in that agricultural world about a whole farm plan. So we're going to use templates.
Yep.
But a whole farm plan or a biodiversity plan, a blackberry action plan, a fruit fly management plan is just getting on a bit of paper, even if it's dot points, so that you're all on the same page and everything from up in your noggin is on a bit of paper.
Well, I'm just trying, for the people that are listening, I'm just trying to get hold where they can sort of get some ideas where to start.
No, start with the Agribusiness Yarra Valley website.
So...
point you in the right direction.
Which is?
I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's like agribusinessyarravalley.com. As far as I'm aware, you Google it, you'll definitely find it.
I'm
so used to doing the Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free messaging that I didn't rehearse the Agribusiness Yarra Valley one.
What about the same with, is there a Facebook page for for the group?
For Agribusiness Yarra Valley? Yes, they have it. It is called Agribusiness Yarra Valley.
All right, so they just go looking for that.
Yeah.
Bronwyn, we're fast running out of time. Is there anything else that you want to talk to the people about in the next, say, 4 minutes?
Well, I'd love to talk about sustainability.
Go for
it. And I'd love to talk about how we need to have improvements to whatever we're doing on our farm, or even be able to document what we are doing on our farm so that we can, because everyone can always improve.
Yep.
And I think we should be making sure we're looking after water. It's a precious resource.
Yep.
I think we should be making sure we look after the soil.
Yep.
So these two, number one, because that's got to be there for the next generation. It's got to be there for our food and fibre supply.
For thousands of years to come.
We've talked about biosecurity and biodiversity plans.
Yep.
Because they're part of looking after that soil and water.
Yep.
Agribusiness Yarra Valley is also looking at helping farmers look at their sustainability and look at their environmental credentials, so to speak. So being able to calculate their greenhouse gases. Now, at Agribusiness Yarra Valley, we think a lot of farmers have already got this at the absolute minimum and they're doing really well.
Yep.
But there's going to be an economic climate, well, it's currently mandated, but it's not a lot's happening in this space, but businesses are meant to be counting their greenhouse gases and proving that they are doing their utmost to reduce them.
True. And again, pardon me, I keep coming back to the average person. Like, some of them mightn't have done any of that, might they?
It's really mind-bending. There are some big companies that have already done a lot of their economic and environmental credentials.
Yep.
But for small farmers, Agribusiness Yarra Valley is running a course on how to, or just an information session on how to start counting your diesel and your electricity.
Where could they find their details for that?
Yeah, again, approach us at Agribusiness Yarra Valley and we'll link you up with the right Agriculture Victoria links and start learning how to count and what to count and prove how good you are at farming sustainably.
Well, I wish you well. I hope that, particularly we want to try and get these fruit fly. Do you think we'll ever completely get rid of them or do you think we'll just have to manage them?
No, I think it's management from here on in, but I think we can do it. And I think we've got a really good base to start from with the low population from last season.
Yep.
Some good practices in place. I reckon we'll have a really good season next season.
Terrific. Bronwyn, unfortunately it's time to go. I've got to go, but thank you for coming in and we look forward to talking to you again. Hopefully next year, if you're still doing the gig, we'll try and get you in before the season so we can talk about what people can do to protect themselves.
Sure, and people can look me up on Facebook and the Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free website. I'm always here to help.
How are they going to find you on Facebook?
Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free is my Facebook page.
Sounds good to me. All right, I'll talk to you later on. Thanks, Bronwyn.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye.